Welcome to Improv for Humans with me, Matty B. You see, I could have started over. I just went with that sincere laugh because you said, is this Improv for Humans? And I said, you know, it's whatever.
You said, oh, we're going to let it be what it's going to be.
And then I intro'd it with Welcome to Improv for Humans.
But less than a second later. It was truly less than a second later where you were like, I don't know what this is going to be. And then you're like, well, God. I was like, we know exactly what this is going to be. That's your Improv for Humans voice.
Yeah, I guess I had an idea this would be an Improv for Humans.
I guess you knew what you wanted it to be.
So I thought we'd try an experiment with just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
One, you rarely have any time off.
That's true.
And two, I do like to do Improv to Humans every once in a while, and we've never done it together. I think I've done it with Chad Carter like twice.
You know.
I think I'd do it with my wife once.
You should marry him.
Twice.
You should marry Chad Carter. Jesus. Like him so much.
I am in love with his premises.
Do I not give good premise? Is this what this is about
you
today?
You do. This is very good give and take, baby. So, I thought we could do a couple of things to get into it. I've been listening to some Nichols and May recently, and the old school improv, how they would do the two-person relationship kind of scenes.
Are the ones on the albums improv? Like, I always thought they were improv, and I feel like you just told me, no, they were scripted, the ones on the album.
Once they made the album, they became scripted, and even once they performed them. But I think the unique thing about Nichols and May was that they did not write them up. Like, they honed them, but they were created in improv, supposedly. That's the story.
So they just memorized them. Like, they've never been put to paper.
And I just learned this reading this book, Improv Nation, that the only truly... They did improv at the end of their set. Like, they did a set at the end, and it was kind of short form. They did something called First Line, Last Line, and then, like... they would take a literary genre and improvise on that. But the scenes we hear on the records are not improvised. Does mm-hmm. that disappoint you?
It doesn't disappoint me because I still think they're brilliant.
That's just the way you think of them as the creators of improv.
I think I thought they were improvised. Like, I think upon first hearing and my memory of listening to them, which, you know, has been in the last 10 years probably,
You thought you're getting a live recording of the first time it was improvised.
Yeah, like I think like the scene that really comes to mind is the one with him and his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking it was such a good scene. Not only was it well-drawn characters, but they zigged and zagged in a way that I thought like, oh, wow, those are really interesting choices they made. They felt real, but they also, I didn't know they were always going to go there. Even though I knew what the game was obvious, like the minute it started, I thought that they had original takes on the game. Because that's like an old kind of improv premise.
But even as you say old, they're the first ones to do it. And if you look at the titles of these things, that scene is called Mother and Son. There's another scene called Telephone, another scene called Teachers. It's mm-hmm. like they're the first guys doing it. But on Mother and Son, you and your mom have a funny relationship.
I think so. We'll see.
Can we talk about the birthday card?
Oh, yes.
What, you want to just do it as a scene?
Who am I? Sure.
You're your mom.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Sure.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Should I call you or you call me?
No, my mother would never call me.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Danielle. Are you you want to talk to your dad?
No. I called you.
Oh.
I would have dialed his phone if I wanted to call him.
Oh, okay. Hi, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good. Same old. Well, I played, your father and I played golf this morning.
Okay. You did?
Yeah. You know, I actually did want to talk to you, though, because I was wondering, did you send me a birthday card this year?
I have it on my desk right now. I forgot on your birthday, but I'm going to send it today. It's just Sydney.
Oh, okay. And, no. It's fine. I don't care.
There's been fires out here.
I don't care. I just, you know, I was waiting for it and I just didn't want to be waiting for it. I was like, oh, you know, because sometimes things get lost in the mail here and we've had problems in the past. So I just didn't want to be waiting for it if I wasn't supposed to be waiting for it. Okay. I just wanted to know. So do you want to talk to your dad?
No, I called to talk to you because I called you on your birthday and you didn't answer on your birthday.
Yes, your father and I went out for dinner with friends and we were playing golf. So we were doing that. But how's Sydney? How is she?
Mom, can I be honest?
Yeah, sure.
I sent you a video of Sydney singing happy birthday and I sang happy birthday into the video on your birthday. Like, isn't that enough?
Sure. You know, a lot of people send their mothers a card and
isn't that more than a card?
Well, no, because, you know, anyone can do that. But a card just kind of means you put some effort, you put some time, you put some thought. It wasn't a last minute. Oh, by the way, I'm just going to rattle off a video. A card is someone, it takes some forethought.
Everything you just said about the video is exactly what it was. We took some time and we took some effort and it was nothing but love and thought in it.
You know, Danielle, I don't want to worry about this. You didn't send a card. It's fine. It's fine. I'm fine.
But did you see Sydney in the video? She held up the picture she had drawn for you. Isn't that a card?
Yes, it was lovely. It was very lovely. She did a great job.
But there's the card.
I saw her card.
Are you saying I get no credit for her card?
No, you did. I am not saying that. Look,
I helped with the card. I helped with her. You think she could do that full card by
herself?
Do you
want to talk to your father?
I don't want to talk to Dad right now.
Okay, I just thought you were calling to talk to Dad.
Did you even look at the card?
I did. It was very sweet. It was a drawing of a butterfly.
Mom.
Danielle, I don't want to argue with you right now. I don't want to argue with you on my birthday. It's fine. It's fine. I don't care.
I'm just saying.
The only reason
no one sends cards anymore. No one even bought.
Well, your sisters did.
They did?
Yeah. Well, Abby did. Yeah, sure.
I think she sends cards to spite me.
Oh, no.
Nobody sends cards. Do you know? Did you hear about the fires?
Yes. You were not affected, I heard. You didn't live near them. Your house was fine.
We're talking about trees and paper and cards getting made.
So that's why you didn't send a card, Danielle.
No, because the fires burned
all the trees?
No, that's ridiculous.
The cards in the grocery store, those trees were already made into cards.
That's not my point. I'm not saying I even have a strong point as far as the fires go, but these days people are sending video cards and a message like
that. You could have sent, you know,
Sydney.
Your father sends these great sort of cards. An artist makes these cards online and they have music and songs, and you didn't send one of those.
But why do I have to buy a graphic artist when I had Sydney and I worked on the glitter. Anytime you see glitter, that means glue's involved. And I helped out. I just don't take credit for it on the video.
Danielle, I don't care. I'm fine. You're making a big deal. You're being very emotional like you get.
Okay. Mom, I love you. And I feel like my love is conveyed.
Well, we miss you. We miss you.
Okay. But do you see what I'm saying? I feel like, can I be extra honest now? I feel my gift to you is not giving you a card on the day of your birthday, but waiting a week.
That makes no sense.
I think you enjoy getting on my back for not giving you
a
card.
Oh, Danielle, you know what? I don't. Do you want to talk to your father?
I don't want to talk to Dad. I already talked to him today. Listen.
This is not a gift.
Listen to what I'm saying, and it's not being critical. I think you just enjoy I guess it is critical. You enjoy getting on my back about not giving you the card.
When do I get on your back about not giving you a card?
That's what this call has been.
No, you called me. When have I ever done that before?
Okay, I will admit, I will start by admitting something. It is crazy that every single year of my adult life, I have, it's like a crazy block that I can't, that can't be more important to me than even, you know, Christmas and now the date of my own daughter. But I somehow never ever buy you a card that arrives on your birthday.
I know, it's that always, is crazy.
It is crazy.
But I don't care.
But I think it's because somehow in the, I know that you want me not to.
Well, Danielle, don't therapize me. I don't need this.
I don't think that's a word, Mom.
I don't need this. I don't care.
I'm not trying to therapize
you. How's Sydney?
Okay. I see what you're doing here. She's in my video card to you. That's how she is.
And how's Matt?
He's great.
What's he working on?
He was holding the camera. And
what's
the,
he working he didn't get on?
How come you never ask me what I'm working on?
Because I know you're working on something. You're always very busy.
Matt has his podcast and other things that keep falling through, and he's very angry about it.
Am I going to see
earlier?
Am I going to see any of those things?
He'd probably, you'd rather not. I don't think you'd enjoy his humor.
Anyway,
Mom, this isn't about him. He is
perfect.
Danielle,
I don't want to talk about this anymore. You're the one that brought it up. You're the one that called me.
Okay. If I hired someone, it sounds like I need to spend money as part of it. If I hired someone to make a video, well, you're saying a graphic artist can design a video to send.
I'm just saying that took some foresight. That took someone thinking about you at least an hour or two beforehand, and sending it, logging onto a website, and sending that.
How much time do I have to spend? Because once again, we made that card, and glitter and glue is a half hour drive.
Well, I'll be happy
to
get it.
Camera.
I'll be happy to get it.
You have
is it on its way?
It?
Is it on its way?
You saw it. You have to have it in your hands?
Well, then how is it a card if I don't have it?
Mom, nobody... Can I scan it?
Sure. I'd be happy for you to scan it.
Okay. Maybe we've come to a compromise here. Can I scan my card?
Yes. I don't have... Our email at the house isn't working right now.
Oh, damn it, because I bought my card. My card for you is on my desk. Really, it's the mailing of it. It's not getting the card. It's the mailing it.
Oh, I don't care about this. I'm just happy that you're happy and you're busy.
Can you say into the phone right now, I'm recording, that you don't care about the cards?
Oh, Danielle, stop this. No, I'm not going to say that. You're being ridiculous.
Play it for you next year, a week after your birthday. And I forget again.
I don't care about the cards. You're being ridiculous.
Okay, I'm going to send you a card, and it's going to be for next year.
Jimmy, do you want to talk to Danielle?
Did you hear what I just said?
Jimmy,
no, I don't
want to
talk to Dad.
And
scene.
That is not exactly how it went.
What part is different?
I don't know. I think after I said, no, I didn't get you a card, there was silence. And then she was like, do you want to talk to your dad? And I was like, yes.
Much shorter conversation.
Much shorter.
Much less honest.
No, it is a block of mine. I don't know why.
She doesn't remember what is
it's
wrong
crazy.
With my why.
And I panic every year. And you're like, Danielle, you do this every year. And I'm like, I know. I do it every year. It's awful. I'm a terrible person. I call and I send a video of our daughter.
Do you know why you're terrible?
I don't do it every year. I just do it every once in a while. It's just a little late.
You want to know the root?
What's the root?
It's this housewives stuff.
Oh, please. That's all in my way?
Humans.
It gives me joy.
Obviously, Bitch Sesh is the best podcast on Earwolf.
Thank you. Thank you.
Granted. But it's Dan... But that's also like saying cocaine is the best high. Like
it is a great high. Well, I don't know. I haven't done it.
Well, what I'm saying is that doesn't mean it's good for you. So watching all these housewives, and she always tries to compare it to fantasy football.
It's better than fantasy football, but I try and go down to your level if I can.
I don't think I... Okay. I'm never doing fantasy football right before we go to sleep.
That's not true. That's a lie. That is a lie. That is completely a lie. You come down in the room. Literally, we're about to go to bed. And he'd be like, I got my running back, and he's doing the ding dong with the.
What?
You'll be all excited.
Why don't you hear her? I've never said my running back is doing the ding dong.
Whatever. He's in the play.
She's obviously not listening
no,
to me.
No, I'm not, because the minute
this
you
becomes
say.
Becomes a conversation in bed, like it's, you know. It's around 10 p.m., which is when normal parents go to bed. Listen, just even what you just said, my running back is doing the ding-dong. That says right there that you don't pay attention to me. Like, I pay attention to your housewives.
Name you one housewife nothing. Besides Danielle.
Danielle.
You can't name that one.
Danielle.
You always name that one. The only reason
one
you know
the,
that now.
One of the housewives is named Danielle.
No, the only reason you know that her name is Danielle is because my name is Danielle. It's the only reason. Name one more. There are 10,000 Real Housewives at this point.
Fine. You don't think I can name another one?
Name one.
Nene.
Her name is Nene.
I said that, Nene.
No, you said Nene, like the dance.
It.
Oh, please. It's not
she
like you...
has her own dance?
No, that's the Nene. The Nene. Look, I love that.
Cindy is trying to sleep.
I know.
Listen to your voice. You have Real Housewives voice, is what you have.
Oh, please.
You have Real Housewives. It's unnaturally loud. You just had it right there.
Well, you know what you have? You have fantasy football voice, which is condescending. And
you might as well say I'm condescending. What does that have to do with fantasy football?
Because that's all you're all excited about the shit talking you do on your fantasy football. You're like, look what I said to Jerry O'Connell today.
You see,
and that's
okay,
what you're
shit talking
me.
Listen.
So you think that so you have
I'm trying to explain
voice.
To you how bad he has been this season. Like he's like 1-11. That's almost impossible.
I don't know.
This is all random.
I'm
you
sure.
Don't listen. You're not.
I don't know what that
out.
Means. I just don't know what that means. 1-11.
But you say I'm shit talking. I'm trying to explain to you levels of gameplay and mind play that are involved here. Like I'm actively involved in the fantasy football. You're listening to these the worst part of society yell at each other, and then you turn it off and go to sleep. How can that be healthy?
First of all, they're not all yelling. Sometimes they're having a great deal of fun.
At near the end of the episode, they're always yelling, and the only people not yelling are crying. And I bet that's what you have nightmares about.
I don't have nightmares about it at all. It relaxes me. It gets out. The same reason the way that you watch horror movies before you go to bed, which you have done. It relaxes me. It's fantasy. They're saying the things sometimes I wish I could say.
Let's go with your horror movie analogy there. If I would never cut it off right in the middle
did you get
of,
water?
Of murder. What's that?
Did you get water?
Why do I always have to get the water?
Because that's your job in this marriage. That's your job.
Okay.
You always say, and I have noticed recently that you don't get the water anymore. So if you don't do your job in this marriage, how can I do mine?
Okay, let's talk about the water. And I will agree to make it, for now on, officially. It was kind of organically, but now I'll make it officially
okay.
My job to get 2 glasses of water.
Full glasses, not some little sprinklings sometimes.
Well, I'll be honest, I've never said this to you before, but I always make sure to get a glass for you that you won't knock over in the middle of the night.
Why? What do you think I'm going to do? I did that once.
Anyway. I get a clumsy proof glass for you.
Oh, well,
so,
I only
so
do
not
that.
Only am I getting water, I have to vet the glasses.
All right. Can I just watch my housewives instead
hey,
of talking?
No, water. Listen. First thing I like to do every morning is take my supplements. Magnesium, B12.
Red yeast rice,
and the multivitamin. If I'm going to take those four vitamins, and the multivitamin is big.
Mm-hmm.
You would choke on a multivitamin alone.
Oh, correct.
Much less four supplements in the same mouth. I go out every morning to my water... Not your water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone. Mm-hmm. It's drained. And I always leave just enough. always leave just enough water so I can get those four pills for my health, mm-hmm. my life, mm-hmm. the life that I hope to live a long time to support my daughter and you mm-hmm. till the day I die. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I go out there, there's no water, so I don't get my supplements. And that's probably one less day of living.
First of all, why don't you get more water for yourself if you need more
water? I got
water.
A full... You're drinking my water. That's crazy talk.
Well, maybe I need more water. And when you're doing water at night, you should get me two glasses.
Think like what you're saying. Let's say we're two farmers. You come over on my side of the fence in my water, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing with your cows in my pond? You're like, why don't you get some more water? I'm like, it is my water.
But you're acting like there's a finite supply of water, and there's not. There's plenty in the sink or in the...
I need a dummy water to bring down and put next to my real water for you to drink in the morning.
Sure.
So I need two waters on my side of the bed, one to keep you away from my water.
Yeah, sounds like
a plan. And that's what the original two waters were.
So you just weren't getting me water? Well, that's real selfish, because I do for you all the time.
You've never, ever gotten me water.
That's true. I just get you everything else.
That may be true, but water is the essential.
Can
of
I
life.
Watch? I feel like this is worse than any Housewives fight.
Okay. And also, I don't think it's healthy, the men that are portrayed in Housewives.
Like who? Name one you don't find is a healthy portrayal.
They all seem exactly the same.
Name one.
I have to name his name?
Which husband of which character? Name a
Danielle's
woman.
Danielle's husband.
She doesn't have one.
Well, I can see why. I'm surprised so you don't that like isn't how this the answer to all of them.
You don't like how this invisible, not their husband is portrayed?
I never recognize these men. By what do I mean by that? I don't see them when I walk around in the world. I don't see men like this.
Then you
does that make sense?
I disagree with that completely. I see these men all the time.
You do?
Oh yeah.
You see, I think it affects our relationship because I'll never be whatever those guys.
I don't want you to be. It's a good thing. You think I want to be married to one of those men?
What do you dream about at night?
What do I dream about at night?
Because the things you think about right before you go to sleep, we at least admit that you dream about at night.
I guess fancy houses, beautiful cars.
What?
Long friendships. I don't know. You're asking me like what I don't want any of those things.
That
I'm
sounds
just saying,
like a goal board.
That's not a goal board. I don't
How
want those things.
How can a long friendship be a dream?
I'm just talking about the things I recognize before I go to bed when I'm watching this stuff.
None of that stuff would show up in a dream. A long friendship. That sounds like a boring dream. What was your dream last night? A long friendship.
Can I get another water?
Did you just drink my...
Yes. I'm really thirsty. It's hot. The heater is making everything really hot and dry. California has a dry heat.
Honey, wake up.
Hello? Oh my gosh.
You fell asleep during Housewives when they were arguing, and you were arguing with me in your sleep about I don't get you enough water.
Oh my God, that was awful.
And there's two waters next to your bedroom.
Oh my God, that was an awful dream. I had a dream that you were asking me about Housewives and arguing with me when all I really want to be dreaming about is cars and houses and long friendships.
Sweetie. You know I'd never argue with you about Housewives.
That's why I
support
I love you.
Everything you do. Who's calling at this time of night?
Oh, it's Nene.
Who else has been in our life lately?
What do you mean?
I was thinking of that waiter at the breakfast place the other day. I think one thing Danielle and I have in common is a problem with a slow waiter for no reason.
Being that I was a waitress for so long, I'm very aware of the ins and outs of a restaurant. Like, I know you, even behind the scenes, I can tell just energy wise, like, oh, is the chef slow or is something going on or do they mix up someone's meal? Like, I always kind of can track the flow of a restaurant. And sometimes shit's going on and you'll be like, what's happening? I'm like, it's okay. I see that this waiter has just got like three new tables at the same time. So let's give them a break. Like, I'm very aware of what's going on in the restaurant. I can't not be. You don't turn off your waiter brain even.
But this is a place we've been to three times, mm-hmm. and every time we were the first person in.
Yes.
Because it's opening in
and
the
it's pretty
morning.
still slow because it's 8 a.m. We're getting there at 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
on a weekend.
And so in other words, it's not busy, mm-hmm. and we're the first ones there. And it always takes way too long.
Oh, my God. And then
every stop.
This week at the restaurant, the waiter was very condescending to me. And I was very upset. Again, I take my waiters very seriously because I was one for so long. So I'm always like, I'm very sort of nice to waiters and indebted and tipping because I feel their pain. I feel what they do. I know how hard of a job it is.
So he was patronizing specifically. Yes. What did he say to you?
I guess he said that you and I were talking at the same time and that he couldn't hear. But that wasn't true. I talked after you. You had said you didn't want, the pancakes come with powdered sugar. And I...
Waffles.
Waffles come with powdered sugar. And I did not want powdered sugar on our waffles because our daughter was going
makes
to have some of them. And even just like the tiniest bit of powdered sugar takes her into a reality that I can't understand or communicate
with. Cocaine.
Yeah, like she's bananas. So it's important that we don't. And for some reason, you never remember to not ask for the sugar on the waffle.
It's 'cause I want it.
I know, but if our daughter's having it, we're not having it. We're parents now. We have to think outside of ourselves. And so you again were like, I'll take the waffle.
So let's say it's another day and you come in by yourself. Hello, would you like a seat?
Yes, please.
Oh, I remember you.
Oh.
You come in for breakfast with your daughter and husband.
Yes, I do. I do.
Yes.
I'm just going to look at the menu, and can I get a glass of water, please?
Slow down. Don't rush me, but I was about to say to you, you're just by yourself today?
Yes, we established that. Yes.
Oh, that is good. That's very good.
So I'm just going to get a water and I'm going to look
at the
menu.
You know what I mean by it's very good?
No, I don't understand.
Well, it seems when you come with someone else that when they order, you like to order at the same time. So it's good to work on going to a restaurant by yourself where there's no one to interrupt. And you can order whatever you want. And there's no one for you to piggyback on and help their order. That's confused.
Wow.
The wait staff.
Wow.
But you said you want a water? Sparkling?
Wow. I feel like you just figured something out about me in that moment. You know, I've been going to therapy for, God, 10 years at this point. And my husband says to me, you know, you interrupt you all the time. Mm-hmm. And I...
He seems like a smart man.
I've blamed it on him for so long, but hearing you, an outside source who I didn't ask for and I'm not paying and I'm not married to, saying, sort of reflecting me back to me, wow.
I'm sorry, I have to ask you this because we get a lot of Jewish writers in here. You're not being sarcastic.
No, I'm not.
Okay, good. Because we're near CBS.
All right.
A lot of sarcastic Jewish writers.
All right, I don't understand what Jewish has to do with any of that stuff. But
they just happen to be Jewish, and Jews are the most sarcastic of the ethnicities. I think you will agree.
I mean, you're not wrong, but I find offense to it just because I don't like the word Jewish in your mouth, but...
That sounds racist.
No, I'm saying
so.
Like,
if a Jew made this observation, if Larry David said it,
it just feels less strange. Look,
I just ask you: if Larry David made the same observation, would you blink an eye?
No, because he's Jewish.
Right. What am I?
Colombian.
True. Anyway, so you have a water and...
yeah, I guess I'll just have a water.
You
I'm still processing.
You want a waffle with sugar?
No. I don't want a waffle.
Your daughter isn't here and you
I
made
know,
it very
but I...
clear you don't want a sugar. You're known as the please no sugar lady in the back.
Well, I'm not having a waffle. That's something my husband usually gets.
Yes, but yet you order it.
Because sometimes he doesn't like to order because... He gets frustrated when talking to other people easily.
But yet in this restaurant, he does order.
But he, it seems to frustrate him in a way I can't quite get my head around.
Oh, I think I understand. It's because you order on top of him and you
No, I don't. I order after him. But I'm afraid you're going to walk away.
Please, ma'am, you have Real Housewives' voice in here. This is a restaurant. Anyway.
Look, I don't know.
No waffles today? What are you eating?
I don't know that I need to eat somewhere. There's a pokey place next door. Maybe I should just go there.
By pokey, you mean slow?
No, by pokey, I mean like a tuna tartare type of deal.
Oh, okay. Because a lot of my Yelp reviews call me pokey.
Is that slow?
Yes, you never heard slow poke?
Mm-mm. Oh, slow poke. Yeah, I guess I have.
Yes, I think that people who need to rush through their meals, rush the ordering, rush getting the bill, they are people who are shallow in life. They always want...
But sometimes people have to get to work.
You didn't even let me get to the end of that sentence, which is obvious.
Because I knew where you were going.
The best part of the sentence was at the end.
It was obvious where you were going. I didn't need any more of the sentence, and honestly, I am on my way to work, and I do need to get out of here.
Okay, one sparkling water.
Just regular water. Tap, please.
Waffle with no sugar.
No waffle, no sugar. I would like 2 eggs over hard with some fruit and some dry toast, too.
Interesting. You probably aren't interested in this, but... You can tell someone's personality by what they order.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I still want...
Like your husband. He orders the most popular item.
Yeah, he does like what everybody likes.
That sounded like Jewish sarcasm.
He actually doesn't like what everybody likes. He wants...
So I got it. but he's a waffle man. A waffle with sugar and strawberries. Willing to have fun with life. And you're a 2 eggs over hard dry toast. Anyway.
Wow. You got me again, man. I'm in a rush to get out of here. And every time I think, I've had enough of this conversation, it's like you show me myself.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting an app.
What?
I'm downloading an app.
I'm having a moment. You're getting an app during it?
It measures sarcasm, so I'm still listening.
I'm not being sarcastic.
It sounds like you are. I can't tell with the Jew writers.
All right.
What? You are a Jewish writer.
I know, but the way you say it, it sounds like an insult.
How should I say it?
Just say a writer.
A writer who is Jewish.
No, just don't put Jewish anywhere around the word.
Okay, you're a writer.
I hear you. Do you think I'm deaf? Look, can I just get my eggs and toast? Can I speak to your manager?
You haven't gotten by now that I own this place. That's why it's so slow.
Oh, okay. Now I'm hearing it. Now I'm seeing that.
Insane. Humans, it's a new year, and to be honest, some of you guys are looking kind of shabby. You need Bombfell, BOMBFELL. This is a personal styling service is really what it is, and I've done this. You fill out a survey. When I hear the word survey, I think like 100 questions and boxes being checked. This is just they show you pictures of shit. And you basically kind of go and show them the direction you like to go with your clothes. That's it. I took the survey and they sent me stuff. Otherwise, I wouldn't even trust people I don't know to dress me. But you take this survey and they put you in a ballpark. Based on that, their stylist sees that and recommends clothes. They send it to you. I'm wearing those clothes all the time. I'm not making this up. We're going to look at photos. We're going to start taking photos of me. As we see the Matt Besser makeover through 2018. And you all need a makeover, trust me. Not just Matty B. Every year, but especially this year, you got to get your attitude straight. Your classic man style straight. And get some help with something easy like this. You're not going to want to go to a store and ask someone with that awkwardness. You have the option of receiving clothes once, twice, or every 3 months, every 1 month, every 2 months, every 3 months. You have 48 hours to make changes or cancel altogether. Humans, it's easy. Bombfell.com/improv. That's Bombfell. Spelled Bombfell.com/improv. If you do this and you take a picture of yourself, send it to us, we will, what will we do? We will compliment you and tell everyone what a classic man or woman, however you identify yourself, you are a classic person, human. Human. Bombfell, spelled Bombfell.com/improv. It's a clothing styling service. They send you the clothes. You choose whether you want them or not. Humans, it's easy. Turn your look around. Bombfell, open and close. I asked for some two-person relationships. Nichols and May did a lot of doctor scenes. They did a full record that was just all doctor scenes.
Your doctor, our doctor, we have a internist that really makes me laugh because he, A, insisted for a while that you were Brendan Fraser. Don't you remember that?
No. Why did he think that?
I don't know. He was like, he said to me, like, is your husband Brendan Fraser or something like that? And I was like, no, he's the name that's written on the, like, maybe Brendan Fraser was your stage name, but like,
it, what?
Don't you remember he thought you were Brendan Fraser?
That's weird because that's the first movie I auditioned for was Encino Man.
Really? Yeah. Well, obviously you guys have a look. And do you know, I do remember having a crush on Brendan Fraser when he was in the movie.
Hey, when he was in the
movie School Ties. I was in high school.
Whoa.
Come on. I was like a kid. But our doctor insisted you were Brendan Fraser, which always made me laugh. And then he's very into our careers. He's very into what we're up to. So I find some appointments I disappoint him with where my career is. And then some appointments I feel like he's thrilled with where I'm at. And it's like a better appointment because he's happier where I am in my career, depending on what I've told him.
Yeah, I've been exercising. I try to do it at least twice a week. I play tennis once a week. Uh-huh. And I haven't been eating red meat, but like really once every 2 months.
Okay. Okay. Now breathe in. Breathe in. Come in. And a big breath out. Good. All right. I'm just going to go up your backbone a little bit.
Okay.
All right. So I know you're an actor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I remember you telling me.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, that's such a hard job. You know, I would have wanted to do it myself, but you guys, with what you do out there, it's pretty cool.
Thanks. So my main worry is this back pain that it just seems to go completely out, like at least twice a year where I can't even get out of bed.
You know, it could be something physical. A lot of times there could be a pinched nerve or a slipped disc, but it could also be stress. Have you had stress lately? Any stressful auditions? Any stressful movie roles? Stressful TV shows you're doing?
Even if I did have a lot of movie roles or TV, like that's when I'm
like
least stressed out.
Which ones? Which ones?
I was just on Haters Back Off on Netflix. I had a 4-episode arc on that. I was the daughter of the main character.
Oh, I don't know it.
It's on Netflix.
I have Netflix. I don't know it.
Do you have any daughters or nieces or anything? They probably know. Anyway, I really want to talk about. It never starts with lifting anything. It's always like. It is sometimes around high stress, but I think it's more, you know, my dad passed away
on
Thanksgiving 3 years ago. So every time around Thanksgiving, I start to get a lot of stress in my back.
So he didn't get to see you on Haters Back Off.
That wasn't my stress.
Oh, okay. I see. I'm sorry. Yes.
He
okay.
would not have liked... I don't think he would have liked that.
Mm. Yeah,
see,
probably.
Now I'm stressed out about thinking about that.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, just touch your toes. Let's just see what kind of...
See, now my back hurts. It didn't even hurt this
morning. So it is, career-related. It is career-related. Have you thought of switching agents?
No. Why is everyone always telling me that? Why is that a solution? Why is that going to make things better?
I don't know. Again, I'm not in your industry. I admire you for doing it. I have some of my clients who I recognize from TV. One of them just recently switched agents. And she is so happy with her new agency. She just got a big arc on that Narcos series. You know that one?
I actually know exactly who you're talking about, so you probably shouldn't even... Isn't there a doctor patient?
Yeah, but not with... I'm not telling you her issues.
But I know even that she was in here, and she might not want that known.
Oh, I think it's fine. I'll tell people you're in here, too.
Don't.
Oh, I thought actors like it. They want to be known. They want their name out there. I'm networking for you. I'm doing your job for you.
That's not where we want to network, is in the mouths of
you
doctors.
You never know where the next... You know, I have a friend who was just a tennis pro. Just a tennis pro.
Okay.
And he was playing, happened to be playing with Clint Eastwood's son. Next thing you know, I see the guy, my tennis pro, on Hawaii Five-0. Guy's got a recurring.
Is
so I'm just saying, you don't
pro?
Know. I think so. Maybe. But you never know where that job's coming from.
He's not going to get a lot of work then. I know that kind of thing.
Well, let's pull up his IMDb.
That's like when I get a role as an improv teacher. That's just like...
Have you been in any movies as improv teachers?
Sadly, I've auditioned for 2 movies as an improv teacher and not gotten it.
Have you thought of switching agents?
I got the audition. How's the agent going to help me?
I don't know.
Oh, God damn it.
Ow. Okay. All right. Breathe in.
You see when I started yelling?
Yes. Well, is it maybe in your acting that you yell too much and maybe you need to play calmer characters?
Are you giving me notes on my acting?
No, your back is giving you notes on
because
your acting.
Because I did yell a lot in Haters Back Off, as a matter of fact.
Well...
Did you see it or read reviews?
No. I don't even know the show. I'm just saying.
Well, some say it's my best acting that I did on that. Even though it was yelling, it was acting.
Why? Is that what your fan club says? You have a fan club?
Fan club? You know, social media.
Oh, you're on social media. Good. You know, you can have a tweet go viral. That's something you could think about doing.
You can't just... That's the same thing my dad used to say before he died, was why don't you make a viral video? It's like saying, why don't you write a hit song? Like,
do you sing? You sing?
Well, it's hard not to plug this, but yes, I released a musical this year called Stolen Idea.
Well, that is exciting.
It's a punk rock musical about stealing...
On Broadway?
Intellectual No, on Stitcher Premium. And singing.
Wow, that got real.
That got really real. All right, I like that suggestion. Help desk. Fender bender. Oh, that's interesting.
Have you been in a fender bender?
I had a really good one when I was on tour. I don't know if you remember it.
I feel like I do, but tell me again. Because I don't listen. Jesus Christ, what was that? Is that why you get me that water glass that I can't break? I had one. It wasn't even a fender bender. It was an accident, a full-on accident in high school. I think I've told you this story. I was a cheerleader in high school, and I was on my way to a game. And there was a tricky intersection going out of my neighborhood where you like had to cross 3 lanes, get in this tiny kind of narrow area, and then cross another 3 lanes.
You still couldn't do that.
Look, I'm not saying it's gotten better. I'm just saying it was a tough thing to do at 16.
All right.
And so I crossed 3 lanes, and then I guess I didn't go in well to like that middle section, and so I had a blind spot and I didn't see this guy, and I ended up pulling out and then he rammed into me, but it was my fault. And it was awful because he was older. I grew up in Florida, so most of the people driving next to you were 100 years old. So that was tough because he was old. And so the ambulance had to come. He ended up being fine. Oh, no. But they kept saying, two things happened at that time. They kept saying, well, the cheerleader ran into him, like just to be referred to, because you could hear what they meant by the word cheerleader, like
the cheerleader,
this dumbass
saved the day.
I think that was 10 years ago, but this was before that, which was basically like this dumb idiot ran into this poor, sweet old man. So it just kept, they kept saying the cheerleader, the cheerleader. Well, the cheerleader did, and I was like, fucking hey. So I remember that. And then I had a crush at the time that lived in the neighborhood. Like, I was obsessed with him. I thought it was so cute. And he didn't know that I was alive. And his mom passed by and was like, Danielle, do you want me to call your mom? I was like, no, just don't tell your son.
Did we send her a card?
Yeah, it was just like, it was just very embarrassing on so many levels. But that same guy that I had a crush on also at some point backed into me and my sister. Like,
oh, good.
He did. And our car had to go into the shop. And so he had to drive me home from school for like a week. And that was a really good time for me.
Oh,
I was very happy about that.
So let's cut to the scene of the accident, and the ambulance is there and the police are there, and Danielle, or the cheerleader, is, she's sitting, leaning up against a police cruiser, and they got a blanket wrapped around her shoulders as the detective's being led over to... Okay, is this the cheerleader over here?
Oh, sir, yes, cheerleader over there. she hit the old man. He's on his way to the hospital. Goddamn cheerleaders. All right, I'll interview her.
How are you doing? My name's Detective Swanson. Are you the cheerleader?
My name is Sarah. I'm so shaken up. I'm sorry. Is he going to be okay?
Okay, just answer my questions. Are you the cheerleader?
I am one. Yes, I am a cheerleader. All right.
So this cheerleader uniform you're wearing is yours?
Yeah.
In the pom-poms next?
Yeah, they're all
the
mine.
The driver's seat are yours?
Yeah, they're all mine. They're all mine. Is he going to be okay? Is he okay? Do you know what's
Ma'am,
happened?
Ma'am, I'm asking the questions here. You could be in a shit ton of trouble. All right.
God, I'm so sorry. I just didn't see him. He pulled out and I had a blind spot and I didn't see him and I was truly looking. I wasn't doing anything distracting. I just want to know if he's going to be okay. I feel so bad. Has anyone called his family?
At that age, I'd say it's about a 10-90 situation.
I don't know what that means.
If I said 50-50, would you understand?
Yes, but 10-90,
well, 10% to 90%.
10 what? 10 what?
10% he survived.
Oh,
I should have
God.
Said he has a 1 in 10 chance of survival.
Yeah, that would have been better. That would have been better. I'm actually in.
Anyway, what's your name, Sarah?
Sarah, yeah.
You said you had a blind spot, so let's talk about this. You were taking a left or a right?
I was taking a left, and I was trying to look. He was coming from the right. And, you know, there's those trees over there on the right, and so it must have been hidden, and it's dark, and I just didn't see him beneath the trees.
So your blind spot was on your right shoulder or your left shoulder?
Yeah, my right shoulder.
Mm-hmm. All right. Can you make a ball out of your fist and show me where your blind spot is, the blind spot you're referring to?
Yeah.
And I'm going to take...
It's this way.
Mm-hmm. You're saying your blind spot's right there?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Now, you say you're on your way to the football game?
Basketball, yeah.
Basketball game. Which high school?
Over at River Hayes.
And who are you playing tonight?
I think...
You don't know?
I'm not really sure. I think they're called the Panthers, but I don't know what school it is.
Okay, let me write this down.
I don't know.
You don't know what school you're playing?
No, we have like two games a week, and they all kind of like...
You don't... So the cheerleaders don't do research into coming up with funny... cheers, which will make fun of the other mascot. That was done when I was in high school.
No.
The cheerleaders would work very hard making parody cheers, sometimes off of songs or refillable cheers.
We do.
It would make fun of the mascot of the other team. You don't do that?
No, we mostly do dances and stunting. We're more of an athletic squad.
Hmm. Interesting. Do you do any cheers?
Yeah.
What is stunting?
That's what we build, sort of like pyramids and human pyramids and stuff. But
you don't look like you could hold anyone.
I really don't
shoulder.
Feel well. Can I go home? I just want to go home.
You know who doesn't feel well? It's Mr. Elderson.
Is that his name? Can I contact his family? Can
Even
I apologize?
His name is Old Elderson.
I'd really like to. Can someone call my mom and dad?
You will not be contacting that family until there's a trial.
There's a trial?
There may be.
For what? I didn't mean to. It wasn't on purpose. There is a blind spot there. They've warned us about it before.
There's a method to driving where if you look over your shoulder, the blind spot disappears. That's why
I did look over my
fishy.
Shoulder. I
well,
did look over my
shoulder. The blind spot disappears. The blind spot disappears. Probably didn't have your windows adjusted, cheerleader.
I don't understand what my cheerleading has anything to do with.
I don't either, because it sounds like you don't do many cheers.
I do a lot
like
of cheers.
You're a dance leader or a stunt leader.
No, cheerleaders are just different than you probably remember in your day. We were more athletic.
Yeah, they cheered for the team and they encouraged the team instead of doing their own athletic event over to the side of the team. That's what seems odd is. That'd be like if you had a basketball game and then the girls' volleyball game took place in the sidelines of the basketball game. It doesn't make sense. Two sports are going on like some lichen growing on a tree.
Well, a lot of times we compete without the football team there. Like, we do go to competitions and stuff. Like, we do on
our Who do you cheer for if the team isn't there? Do they come along?
I guess
you
ourselves.
Got a picture of them? Yourselves? Oh, this generation. The cheerleaders cheer for
Sir,
themselves.
I really like to go
Good
home.
Lord.
I'm cold. I'm sad.
It's that kind of attitude, that kind of selfishness is in your driving, what you did to poor Mr. Elderson.
It was an accident. It wasn't on purpose. I'm sorry. But I'd also like to go home if you don't need me anymore. I don't understand why
you can't just walk away from scene of a crime and say, I want to go home.
How is this We're the science scene of a crime? It was a car accident.
He could be dead. Then it'll be manslaughter.
Oh, my God.
Cheerleader. All right, cheerleader. We're going to do
My name is Sarah. Please.
All right, cheerleader Sarah. We're about to do a driving under the influence test. Now, you've probably seen it where you have to walk a line or touch your nose to the alphabet.
Yes.
What I want you to do is do one of your cheers.
What?
From the top of the cheer to the bottom of the cheer. I want to hear one of your classic, where'd you say you go, Riverside? Red River.
Red River.
Give me one of your Red River cheers.
How is
then
this?
I'll know you're sober.
Red River Sharks. We're back and we're better than before. Sit back and watch us. Once more. Yell blue, gray, and white. Blue, gray, and white. Can I stop? Come on, Sharks, let's fight. Come on, Sharks, let's fight.
And scene. So we should tell the story of what happened on Christmas Eve dinner, at Christmas Eve dinner.
Yes.
With Sydney.
Yes, our daughter Sydney.
So you tell it.
Well, I kind of wasn't there for all of it because I was like walking away and in the kitchen, but Sydney sort of hadn't been feeling well a little bit, and we had attributed it. She said her body was sore, and for some reason, she had gone to this like trampoline place for a birthday party the day before and like wasn't, you know, just knocking herself out. And so we just thought that she was sore from that. So we're like, you're just sore from the trampolines. And then like an hour before dinner, she just wasn't hungry, and I could tell something was wrong. So it was Christmas Eve dinner. We had John Gemberling, our friend and podcast friend of the podcast, John Gemberling, and his wife, Andrea Rosen, over, she's also our friend as well, and with their kids. And so we're all sitting around the dinner table, and Sydney wasn't feeling well. So we said, you know what? Why don't you just, you can watch a little TV and just chill out. You don't want to eat dinner. We're fine with that. So then I go into the kitchen, and she comes up to you. What exactly happened? Because I sort of like walked in on this.
She, I'm trying to think of the right word. It's not walks. It's not exactly waddles. Sidles. Maybe, is that a word?
Yeah, sidles up to you.
Sidles up to me. And I can tell something's not right. And then she just vomits. I'm at the dinner table.
Yeah, we're all eating.
and she just vomits all over me, covers my torso in my lap. And being a good dad, I'm not, you know, I'm not grossed out by this. I'm concerned for her.
Did she laugh in the middle of it? I felt like she laughed mid-vomit.
So then I made a bowl out of my lap so the vomit wouldn't go onto the floor. And I was also trying the best I could to shield the whole experience from our guests.
For their Christmas dinner.
But keeping my daughter's welfare at the utmost. So, yeah, she puked once and she immediately says, as she's puking, "I feel better now." She's like, "I feel better now." And then she pukes again. She goes, "I feel better now."
Aww.
And then she's like, then she's kind of mocking me, like, "Ha ha,
I vomited on you." That's so her. Our daughter, us being the butt of jokes trumps anything else that could happen.
And the other unique thing about Sydney when she throws up, which actually hasn't been that often compared to other kids. And even when she was a baby, she didn't really throw up that much.
Mm-mm.
So it is an experience for her, like something out of the norm and scary for her when she does it. And she doesn't even, and her word always has been choke instead of throw up.
She says, "I choked."
Which is when she relates it to someone the next day and says, I choked yesterday. It sounds much more disturbing than throw up for some reason. But she's maintained that.
Yeah, we've told her the correct words, all of them, from puked to vomit to throw up. And she just, none of them take. She always says
choke. She loves choked. So should we attempt to see?
She's also 4.5. We should just also.
Oh, yeah. She's not 16. You're afraid people might think that?
Well, I don't know what they're going to think, like that she's 8 or so. No, I just don't. I just want to set, I like to set the scene, and I like to, for people to know and reference.
Right.
And just be in the same frame of mind as us as we tell the story.
That's important. And also to know, I did give clues that she threw up in my lap. If she had been a baby, it would have been on my shins or my feet. I guess I could have had her in my lap.
Yeah.
But she was definitely at
lap level.
At lap level, just a perfect. I was like the perfect thing to throw up into.
Yeah.
Like even more than a toilet bowl.
Yeah. Seems like you're the most traumatized from this experience.
Look at my pants right now. These are the pants I wore.
These are the pants?
Yeah, look at them.
They look great.
No, they don't. Look.
Oh, yeah. Why are you keeping them? Throw them away.
Throw them away because my daughter vomited on them.
Well,
once?
No, because they're stained. I don't care that she vomited on them. They look like something happened.
I only realized that today after I put them on.
Yeah, they're done.
You think these jeans are done?
We'll
she vomited on them.
We'll
once?
Take them to a dry cleaner, but they have stains all over them.
Hi. When we tell you we have stains to take out, am I supposed to tell you what kind of stain it is?
It helps us sometimes to know exactly what to get it out. You know, if it's oil-based, we use a specific type of wash. If it is more a acid-based, you know, we always we have different cleaners.
I think
cleaners.
It's acid-based.
Acid-based. Okay. What?
I'll be honest, though. It's a lot of different bases.
Oh, okay.
There's probably oil in there too. There's probably all sorts of stuff in there, honestly.
Well, do you want to tell me what is in there so I can write it down?
Okay, it's vomit. It was vomit.
Okay.
My daughter vomited. It's important how old she is.
Yeah, it might help us know how much digestion happened if there were alcohol in it.
It's weird. I got an argument with my wife. I'm like, it's not important how old
she is. I think it is. I just want to set the tone.
You should set the
tone. It helps me. It helps educate me. I think the more you know, the better you are in any situation.
That's almost exactly what she said. But anyway, yeah.
She's a smart woman.
Yeah. So she says that a lot too. So she vomited and she had eaten a lot that day. There's a lot of mango. In fact, the mangoes, oddly, they almost looked the exact same shape they were when she ate them, almost as if somehow they came back together when they got into her stomach.
Can I ask you something,
sir? It surprised me.
And this isn't the first time I've had to ask this. And, you know, as a dry cleaner, I hear a lot of things. I talk to a lot of people. I have a lot of regular customers. I get to know people.
I'm not lying. I did not.
No, I
myself.
No,
is
I
that
not
what you think?
No, no, no,
you think
no, sir.
I got drunk about
no,
myself?
No, sir. No, 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 no.
A picture of my kid. I could show you.
No, I believe you. Of course, sir. Why would you lie about something like that? This
I don't
is
know.
Your
people
child.
People might be embarrassed. Never. If I was a junkie and vomited on my pants, I might want to say, "Ah, it was my kid."
No, sir. I promise you. No need to get defensive. I believe it. I don't have any reason to not.
Okay.
I can tell by the consistency now as I look closer at this stain. It does look childlike.
You can tell?
I can tell people vomit in different ways. And
you're good.
I've been doing this a very long time.
When you guys say experts with stains, mm-hmm. you know, you just assume everyone says that.
But sir, let me ask you something. And I, mm-hmm. again, this is me and you, two people just talking to each other.
Go ahead.
Are you okay that your daughter vomited on you? You seem upset. You seem disturbed. And I just want to know that you're okay.
How do you see that through the vomit stain?
Not through
Are
the vomit stain, though.
Me?
I'm reading you. I read people.
Okay. You don't say therapy expert.
No, no, no. I'm a dry cleaner, but I also deal with people. And you don't have to have a degree to know people.
Okay. Is this one of those stains of the soul kind of philosophies?
No,
no
I'm...
No, you're not going to do that
No,
to
I'm
me.
Not. I am... Talking to you person to person. Do you
of course
need
I'm fine. Why would I not be fine?
You don't.
I feel like I'll tell you what I really feel.
I would love that.
Between you and I.
Yes, please.
I feel like I was kind of the hero of Christmas Eve. Because I was so selfless. And isn't that what Christmas is really all about?
Yeah. Can I say something? Yes.
Hold on. I was so selfless that I turned myself into a vomit bowl, a human toilet. Because I loved my daughter so much. And maybe I feel like I don't get enough credit for that. Maybe that's what you're reading off of me.
I think I
What else would you think it is?
No, I believe it is that. I think it is that. And so, sir, I want to do that for you. I want to give you the credit you so richly deserve. Carl, Sebastian, this man's daughter threw up on him on Christmas Eve. And did he run?
Christmas
no.
Eve?
Yes. Did he run? No.
Of all nights.
All the nights. The most holy night.
On Christmas Eve?
Yes. Yes. And he did
of
not.
Of all nights. It's like a Bible story in its own right.
Exactly. And this man is a hero. All I have to say is this man
yes,
is a hero.
He is
a hero. And sir, just know that everyone at this dry cleaner thinks you are a hero. And we would like your headshot to see all these headshots in the wall. These are people that have been thrown up on. Heroic acts. And that is why you see their headshots on the wall at the dry cleaner.
They've all had heroic stains
yes.
that you've gotten out.
Yes, Kramer from Seinfeld.
Actually, that is Kramer's brother.
Oh, sorry.
He played his 21 episode.
Well, he is a hero. All these people had heroic stains, and I
oh,
want
he
to
looks
put
just
you,
like Michael Richards.
I want to put you on the wall. You deserve
I'm it. I'm not even an actor.
It does not matter. You have a picture.
I'm a comedian.
It's the same thing. No? It does not matter. You're a hero. A
yeah,
hero.
That's the
you
point.
You deserve a celebration.
Man, I wish my wife was as understanding as
I'm
you
calling
are.
Her. What is her number?
Oh, well, you made me give it to you when we opened up the ticket.
Oh, yes, sorry. I thought it assumed yours is yourself, but...
We cut to hours later, right after they close.
Can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, sure. Sebastian, yeah, sure.
Yes, the whole thing about the kind of stain on your soul therapy you do on the side.
Mm-hmm. I never said it was saying on your stool. Everyone else thinks
when
that
he
I say
said
that.
It today, I was like, you know, that's it in a nutshell. I don't mind that you do it. It slows down business a little bit. But when you involve us, I feel like it's extra work and we don't get paid for that. We get paid to do the pressing, the folding. You know, I'll take a phone call every once in a while, but. To fake that people are heroes day after day. I'm not an actor.
Can I ask you something, Sebastian?
Yes.
I don't think this is really about whether you have to do this fake hero thing. This is about something else.
No, don't try this on me. I see you do this every day, 9 to 5. Don't pull this bullshit on me.
Can I ask you something?
What?
Do you not feel that you are enough?
And scene.
Was the Shmoo an alien?
Okay, let's talk about Shmoo. So, Shmoo, if you want to look it up, folks, was a cartoon that Danielle remembers, I guess, from the early 80s?
Yeah.
Or late 70s?
No, I would say early 80s.
Well, it had to be very early 80s.
Well, you don't know what was on when I was a kid. I mean...
But I don't... All right, you're turning this to a vet.
It's not a vet.
Do you think the Shmoo lasted past...
I'm going to say at least 85, 86.
No way.
Yes, for sure.
All right, folks. We're going to have to do a sandwich head bet.
Does your audience know what a sandwich head bet is?
I don't recall.
So why don't we tell them about sandwich head bet? That's even better.
All right. Tell them.
So Matt and I we don't bet for money because we share money since we are married. But so we bet humiliation. The other person, if they lose a bet, has to do humiliation. And when we lived in New York...
I don't know. How do other couples bet?
I don't know. Maybe they...
You can't bet money. What else are you going
to
bet?
I don't know. We'll have to ask other couples. Maybe they don't bet. Maybe they're just like fine to just hear each other out.
What? You have to prove someone wrong.
Well,
they're
going
to be
you
all
and I.
Cocky
I
about
think,
information.
I think that's you and I. I think that's specific to you and I. Maybe other people are better than us. But in New York, we used to do this one where we used to watch... before the movies would start, there would be like, you know, let's go to the movies type of like ads about like popcorn and shutting off your cell phones. And there was always this guy in the middle of the ad that would like pop out of the popcorn. Like, obviously he was like in the popcorn and that was like part of their joyous ad. And Matt and I, it always made us laugh. Like, what's that guy doing in that popcorn? Like, I don't know why, but it really tickled us. And so... the person who lost the bet during that ad in the movies, like when the lights are going out, would have to scream after that guy pops out of that popcorn. They would have to scream out loud in the movies, "What's that guy doing in that popcorn?" And I think
just to try to set the scene a little bit more, it's showing off all the things you can buy before the show,
yes.
Coke and candy and stuff. I know, but everyone else. It's just doing it normally. They're just buying a Coke or buying candy. There's nothing absurd happening. Then one guy pops out of the popcorn like he's living in there.
Yeah,
he
but
likes
it's,
it.
But it's
he
all
likes
to music.
It so much that he's in the popcorn.
Yeah, but it's all to music. Like, no one's talking in this thing. It's just kind of like images splashed across the screen.
Okay.
So anyway, that commercial no longer exists, or whatever that was no longer exists, at least not in Los Angeles. And so, and the popcorn doesn't... So the new thing is... If you lose a bet and you're on an airplane or any sort of crowded place like a movie theater, really, I think it's mostly just airplane. That next time we're on an airplane, one of us, the person who loses bet, has to put a sandwich on their head.
Yeah, and like just, wear like a hat.
Just wear a sandwich, like a hat, so that people look at you.
So you've got a way to humiliate yourself. In kind of a low stakes way.
It's pretty high stakes, if you ask me.
What I like about being on a plane is there's nowhere for you to go.
Yes. So that I have lost some bets recently, but I just refuse to do sandwiches.
Yeah, you were building like a tab. Like, I had you 3 or 4 deep.
But then didn't you lose it? Because you lost on one thing and you bet like 3 sandwich heads.
I let you wipe the slate. You're lucky.
But we'll say like sandwich
one of them was, and I feel like we have brought this up before, and I just did it with the Michael Richards thing. It was over Dan Aykroyd's brother's headshot.
Correct.
Excuse me, ma'am?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I can see that you're buckled in, which is great, but you're going to have to remove the sandwich from your head.
Oh, it's a bet my husband and I do. I lost a bet, and so I have to do this for the remainder of the flight. Okay. I don't think it's distracting.
I'm sorry, ma'am. It's just a very large sandwich. Looks like it's a foot long.
Yeah.
And we have to have anything that's that large strapped down. and right now it's just balanced on your head. So you're going to have to take the sandwich off your head.
Well, can you do me a favor then? Because I have to understand that I lost like 4 bets in a row, all sandwich head bets. Okay. And so...
Have you tried just talking it out with your husband instead of making things lead to a bet?
Well, it's more fun. Like someone wins and someone loses. There's nothing, you know, talking it out is no fun.
Okay, just bet a dollar.
Well, but we both own the same dollar, so who cares? No one wins, no one loses. Just passing a dollar back and forth, who cares? Look, can you do me a huge favor? I have to do this bet, or, you know, basically then I have to do 5 more sandwich head bets. Basically, he then bet that I couldn't do the sandwich head bet in the plane.
He doubles you up on a sandwich head?
Yeah, he doubles down on it. So
and when you pay off, do you have to put 2 sandwiches on your head at the same time?
No.
Or it's
different sandwich experiences. So
and when you did it, obviously you have your sandwich even as we speak.
Yes.
And the pilot is now motioning that you do definitely have to take it. As you're saying, you have to pay off. I have to get people to not be dangerous on
the plane.
Is there
something I can wear on my head?
You could wear a hat.
Ma'am,
do you see where I'm coming from?
I don't do well in hats. Look good in hats.
Okay, I can see that. But it's not about looking good. It's about being safe. Can you imagine the turbulence?
The sandwich is actually quite soft.
So you're saying if there was turbulence, it would...
It's kind of a soft bun.
Okay. It also has a toothpick through it.
Oh, I can take off the toothpick. Sure.
Okay. And then there's going to be roast beef everywhere turbulence and mayonnaise, which makes a lot of people gag.
I will say that I got this at the airport.
Well, that's gross.
So
I can't take responsibility for airport.
Well, it's the toothpick is the airport's fault, really.
Okay, ma'am. You say you need to humiliate yourself. Could we just put a slab of roast beef and maybe stick it in your ear? Just pack your ear with roast beef?
That is funny. I mean,
that way, if there's turbulence, I don't think the roast beef is going anywhere.
Can I ask you this, though? I have tubes in my ear. Do you know people that have tubes in their ear?
Regular ear tubes? What do you mean?
You get tubes when you can't, like, go down in water or you have your... You get ear infections easily. You get tubes in your ear.
I'm not aware of whatever this is.
Yeah, I have tubes.
I thought it was like a disease, like ringworm.
Ear tubes? You've never heard of anyone having ear tubes?
Sounds like ringworm. I got ear tubes.
No, ear tubes are there to help.
Oh, okay.
So I have tubes in my ear.
Great.
But they're very sensitive because of the tubes. So I worry that roast beef in my ear is not great, but I love this idea of what you're coming up with. I would love to brainstorm some more ideas with you.
If it was my husband, it would be... I'm going to be honest with you. He would say, stick it up your butt. Like you had to get on the plane with a sandwich in your ass. Stick in your ass crack.
The whole sandwich?
Well, that's what makes it funny.
I mean, I think...
Then you have to sit on a whole sandwich and it's up your butt.
I think that would really hurt.
Well, you seem to be thinking about yourself as a toothpick laden foot-long sub flying around the cabin. It's going to hurt somebody else.
All right.
Poke out an eye.
Okay. I'm going to do this.
Back home. She's landed. She sees Matt waiting for her with chocolates and flowers and tears in his eyes because he's missed her so much. Danielle.
Hi.
Hey, sweetie.
Sorry, I'm walking so slow.
Oh, what's wrong? You tired? I love you. Give me a hug.
Look, I won
Hold on.
I won the bet.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Look.
What? Here's some flowers. What are you talking about?
Look at my other side.
What?
Look.
Before I look at your other side, did you wear the sandwich on your head like we agreed? You paid off the bet,
right? Definitely
wore
the sandwich.
On your head?
No. It's in my ass.
She slowly turns around. He sees that the sandwich indeed is in her ass. I don't understand what's happening.
I did the bet.
What do you mean you did the bet? It's in your ass.
I'm actually feeling quite sick right now.
What? Oh, no. Oh, God. Okay, honey.
I feel
okay,
better now.
Into my
I
lap.
Feel
better now. Into my lap. I'm a hero. Look at me. I'm a hero.
Sir, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah.
I'm just a dry cleaner walking through an airport.
Okay. I'm in the middle of being a hero, but go ahead.
What do you need right now? You look very upset.
And scene. This has been Improv for Humans with Maddie B, Daniel C.S. of Bitch Sash. Mm-hmm. What else are we plugging today? Everything else is up in the air.
Everything else is up in the air.
All right, humans, keep being human.
Be a good human. Check out Matt Bess's new Patreon account called Bess Comedy Advice. Go to mattbesser.com for more info. Listen to Stolen Idea, Matt, Bobby and Brett's epic punk rock musical on Stitcher Premium, and tell your friends. Rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about the best podcast in the universe. Check out Besser vs. The Audience on Stitcher Premium. Music by Dragoon. This has been Improv for Humans.
Hello, Earwolf podcast listener. Scott Aukerman here from Comedy Bang Bang. It's a brand new year, and you know what that means. It's time for Comedy Bang Bang to count down the top episodes of 2017. You voted for your favorites. Now you can hear Paul F. Tompkins and myself talking about the best episodes of the year on our Best of 2017 specials. Listen to the whole four-part special this week on Comedy Bang Bang, and I'll see you in 2018.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.